Hey there, Quajo here, and if you haven't heard my voice, I'm the new host of the Art of Online Business. Quick update on my new offer. I did not expect the initial launch spots to sell out so fast. I'm talking about Facebook Ad Setup to Success, which is one-on-one Facebook ads coaching for the driven course creator from me, three Zoom calls within a month, and unlimited support in between so that you can run your lead generation campaigns, your launch campaigns, your SLO, self-liquidating offer funnels, exactly like I would, getting all my tips and tricks and strategies, plus just unlimited support inside of Slack or Voxer, or one lady's even doing it from inside of Messenger, with screen recordings, Loom recordings, this sort of thing, questions. This is what I'm doing, but all those limited spots at the initial launch price, they are gone. And I just wanted to explain that out of integrity to the people who took those first spots. The price has gone up, and there's one spot, maybe two, if I do some scheduling jujitsu for May. Otherwise, we're booking into June. You can click on the link in the description below to find out more, or you can go to theartofonlinebusiness.com/call if you need that kind of one-on-one Facebook help. All right, back to the episode.
What do you get when you combine simplified digital marketing, proven ROI strategies, and Metallica blasting from his headphones? You get Rick Mohl ready, of course. So strap in, grab your bulletproof coffee, and get ready, because this is the art of paid traffic. Here's Rick.
All right. What's up, my friends? Thanks so much for hanging out with me today. This is episode number 211. I'm Rick Mulready, and I'm your host. This is the Art of Paid Traffic podcast, where we simplify online marketing for you so you can scale and create consistent income and freedom in your business, because that's what this is all about, right? If this is your first time listening to the show, welcome. Super psyched to have you here. And thank you so much for your attention and for subscribing to the show. And also sharing it with a friend if you think that you know somebody who will find some value in it. Really, really appreciate it. Now, a while back, I had a Facebook ad manager join my program. And in one of my first conversations with him, he told me it was his goal to be a case study here on the podcast. I actually hear that from a lot of new students. And his name is Aaron Pearson. And we've now come full circle, because here he is on the podcast talking about how he's grown his Facebook ads business from around $5,000 a month before the program to now averaging around $25,000 a month in his Facebook ads business. And we're going to dissect Aaron's business today. And we're going to talk about how he got to where he is with his business today. We're going to talk about how to market your Facebook ads business in a small market. Aaron's in a small town near Plano, Texas. And this is something that I hear from so many new Facebook ad managers. They just come in with the wrong mindset. They're like, well, I'm in a small market, so this isn't going to work because it's such a small market. Well, we're going to talk about and share a perfect example with you about how that is not true. We're going to break down how Aaron has marketed his business and how he gets local business clients for his Facebook ads business. We talk about how to get your business in front of the right prospective customers. We get into what percentage of the budget that Aaron and his team use for creative when working with a client. I ask Aaron what he would say to new Facebook ad managers who are frustrated that their business isn't working like they hope. So you're going to learn exactly what that is. We talk about how Aaron comes up with all the different strategies for the different clients that he's working with. We talk about why becoming a student of marketing is essential to growing a thriving Facebook ads business. That and a whole bunch more today. Now, before we dive into it, if you're a Facebook ads manager or you're looking to grow a Facebook ads business, I put together a cheat sheet bundle for you, and it includes five different PDF cheat sheets. The first cheat sheet is five keys to getting high quality clients for your Facebook ads business. The second cheat sheet is a client intake form that you can use for clients that you're bringing into your business. So I've done the work for you. You can just use this form right for your business. The third cheat sheet is a niching down worksheet, and it's designed to help you more quickly gain clarity on which niche that you should be serving in your Facebook ads business. This is a big challenge that I hear from new Facebook ad managers. The fourth cheat sheet in the bundle is the best way to lower your Facebook ad costs PDF. So I take you through exactly how to do that. And then the final cheat sheet is the AOPT episodes for ad managers cheat sheet. So we've put together all of the most relevant and the best episodes from the podcast here that are designed for Facebook ad managers. So you can download this Facebook ad manager cheat sheet bundle at rickmulready.com/bundle. And when you download the cheat sheet bundle, you'll also be able to get free access to my FB Ad Manager Experience pop-up Facebook group. There's nearly 2,000 Facebook ad managers just like you who are learning to quickly and effectively grow and scale their Facebook ads business there in the group. So make sure to download the bundle at rickmulready.com/bundle and get free access to the FB Ad Manager Experience pop-up Facebook group, which is going to be available for a limited time. Again, that link is rickmulready.com/bundle. All right, my friends, without further ado, let's go hang out with Aaron Pearson. Aaron, welcome to the show, my man. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Rick, I am super excited to be here. Thank you for this opportunity.
Absolutely. Now, you were just telling me right before we hit record here that, I want to let you share the story. So you became a student of mine a couple of years ago, and I'm going to let you tell the rest of the story from there.
Yeah, so my business partner and I had just started the company probably about 9 months prior to buying your course, and I'd been listening to The Art of Paid Traffic as I was going on my runs, and I was just like, this guy knows what he's talking about. And so we took a leap of faith and bought the course, and you know, at the time it was a lot of money for us, and I just remember you gave me a call after I bought it, and I'm glad it didn't go to voicemail, but I thought that was really cool. And I was like, I know I made the right decision when you made that call. But then I told you that, okay, one way or another, I'm going to find a way to be on your show or on your podcast. And you were like, challenge accepted. And you said, you know, you can't wait for that to happen. But now this is kind of like a surreal moment that it's actually happening.
It's come full circle, man. It's full circle. I'm honored to have you on the show here. I'm so glad to be able to bring you on here. And I mean, and you know, you have done an amazing thing with your business and growing your ads business. And I kind of want to dive into that here today with you and sort of just talk about the journey of where you've like how you've come a long way because your business is doing really, really well right now. And just kind of take people through that. So why don't we start there? Like, how long have you been in business where you're running ads for other businesses?
Technically, it's been about 3 years that we've been running ads for people, but I would say successfully running ads for people in a sense that I felt confident in what I was doing for about two and a half years, really as soon as I finished your class and started implementing some of those things into our business. That's when I felt like I could really, you know, offer that as a service, and I had an advantage to other people in the market.
So talk about that, because this is something that a lot of people start when they're starting off with their ads business, and they just don't have the confidence, they don't have the experience in running ads. Talk about those first six to 12 months where you really weren't sure what you were really doing, didn't really have the, you know, that type of confidence that you do now. What was that like for you, and what were you doing in the business at that point?
So I guess for us, it was, we had clients, but we weren't necessarily running ads for them. It was more like a project-based campaign. And so we were like, okay, for the holidays. So this was fall of, or Christmas time of 2015. And this client was a popcorn shop in the area. And they were like, we want to increase our sales. We want to sell more tins. We want to sell more popcorn. And so we put our heads together, came up with a really cool strategy, and looking at it now, it was a really good strategy to get in front of people, but we were going in there, and I was running like one ad set, and I was running like six or seven different ads from one ad set. Mm-hmm. I wasn't using warm traffic to try to go after these people when they had a large email list and a large Facebook following. Our landing pages were all over the place. So looking at it now, it was chaotic, but it was also stressful because we were trying so many different things and none of them were necessarily working. Luckily, we did figure out something probably 30 days into it. They were like, okay, this is working. Let's turn everything else off. We have no idea what we did, but somehow we're going to make some money. And we made them a little bit of money, but it was really a lot of back and forth and a lot of time and stress of just like trying to figure out what the right answer was when we didn't have a clue.
Were you getting paid for that, or was this like a freebie thing?
So they were our client, and it was basically for free, in the sense that we charged, but we only charged for like the stuff that we were actually like know that we are good at. So my business partner, we're kind of a right brain, left brain. I'm more of the analytical and marketing and strategy, and he's more of the design and the creative. So we were charging for the creative piece because we knew we could deliver on that. That's really like the piece that we knew about. But running the ads, we were like, hey, there's this thing called Facebook ads. We think that you could do really well here. It's Christmas time. We need to get our feet wet too. So, you know, pay us for this creative because we need to go out and actually take some videos and get some photography. But we're going to run these ads for free. So we ran the ads for free on that piece.
Gotcha. And did those ads work? Was it, you said that you weren't really sure what you're doing, like, but yet you did find some traction in one strategy. Did the ads work at all?
So the ads, I actually looked at it probably a year later, and our relevance score was really about a 7, so it wasn't horrible. Mm-hmm. And the ads that we were running were more like, it's more like your life without this kind of popcorn, your life with this kind of popcorn. We kind of went that route.
Okay.
It was more of a naughty and nice list of
smart.
Like somebody else goes with somebody else and you're on the naughty list. Somebody goes with us and you're on the nice list. And that kind of resonated with their followers. And we got a lot of share and social proof from it. And that's really what made the difference is we got in front of the right people to share it. And then after that, we couldn't have scaled it. I'll just say that. We probably could have ran another month and then it would have hit a plateau because we couldn't have scaled it.
How come?
Because we didn't know how to scale. I knew nothing about duplicating an ad set or how to, you know, figure out lookalike audiences or anything about the audience other than, hey, you know, this is the location where their business is at and we should target women in this area. And that's about as detailed as we got to that point.
Gotcha. So you were targeting locally.
Yes, it was a local market.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you do, and I want to kind of get into this in this conversation here. You're in a smaller town, I think, smaller market in Texas. I think it's like, I think you said suburb of Dallas near Plano. Mm-hmm. You've like, you're like dominating it. And I remember conversations with you a little while back where you were having some problems getting things going for a couple of different types of like local businesses there, but mm-hmm. yet this has become your niche. Like you were serving this small market, and I get this question all the time from people, and it's a big fear that people have is that they don't think that because they're in a small market, they can't make ads work for these local businesses. I literally just had a conversation this morning with a student who was talking about, you know, being in a small town and you know, would ads work for like a local yoga studio or a local gym because they were in such a small town. They were, you know, without even having reached out to them, they were already creating a story in their head that they didn't have a budget to do Facebook ads. What has been, I mean, your experience has been completely opposite. You've done very well in a small market. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So I think our approach is that, now that we know what to do to get in front of the right people, that part is easier because we know that as soon as we can get in front of the right people, then it just has to be a message that is conveyed in a way that they want to be told that story. So we've done a lot of changing with the creative that we do. So like the videos and the strategy as far as like we lead almost always with a video and then use a lot of different retargeting through percentages of that video watch mm-hmm. Because it's a lot cheaper. And what we've done is we've just focused about 40 to 60% of our marketing budget from the business on creative. And that could be anything from having them create it to us to create it. Mm-hmm. But just coming up with a creative idea, and I kind of use this term a lot. I don't know if it's coined or not, but I just call it a thumb stopper. So if they're scrolling through Facebook or Instagram, we want to create something that makes them stop with their thumb and then click over to the ad. And if we can get in front of the right people with just something that stands out, we're more interested in having something stand out with the right message and the right visual, then that actually gets them over into the start of our funnel. And the ads piece is a lot easier now because we already know that, hey, if there's only 10,000 people that we can market to, instead of trying to figure out the interest groups or trying to figure out all these different things, we can actually, with a relatively lower budget, we can actually reach all of those 10,000 people and then have them tell us which audience they should be in. So we do a lot with that, with creating the video audiences and then work down farther to having them tell us whether or not they're interested.
I love it. I just want to repeat that for everybody listening, guys. So if you're managing ads for, or you want to be building a Facebook ads business and you want to be serving local businesses in your area, and it's a small market, what Aaron is saying here is that regardless of the type of business that he's going after or that he's working with, and it's a smaller market, he is doing a video strategy where he's putting a video in front of everybody or as many people as possible in this small market and letting the percentage, like how long people are watching, how much they're engaging with the video, and letting that dictate how the next step in the funnel. So depending on what percentage they watch, he's following up with them. He's retargeting them with the next step in the funnel there. Now, you mentioned getting in front of the right people. Were you referring to that, or were you referring to getting in front of the right types of clients to serve?
No, specifically the right kind of people. I mean, we've done, I don't know if you're mentioning like a B2B or a B2C. Is that the question that you're asking?
Well, you mentioned, because I mentioned, I was talking about before, like, you know, when I talk to a lot of ad managers when they're first starting out, they think that because they're serving a small market or that they live in a small market, that a local business, say for a yoga studio, for example, isn't going to have the budget to run Facebook ads. They've already told themselves the story before even approaching them. And but their theory is because they are in a small market, where you've proven that wrong. Like, you are in a smaller market there in Texas and you're serving these local businesses. And so what's been the story for you as you are approaching? I know that weren't you working with like Quick Lube services, like Quick Oil Change, that type of thing, mm-hmm. for a while? I mean, we're talking smaller markets here. How have you made it work?
So one strategy that everybody can use is that I go pick up like the local, like you have those hyper local magazines in your area. For us, it's called the Allen Image, but you know that they have to pay, and it's actually not very cheap for them to pay to run advertising in that, or go pick up the newspaper. And if they're spending money on that, then I just say, look, you're spending money here and you can't track anything. With Facebook, you can actually track it. I can tell you how many people you've seen. I can put you in front of the right target market. I can put you in a position to where you could remarket back to those people and it wouldn't cost you but a third of that price. And so I just pitch it in that sense of, look, you're going to spend, you know, thousands of dollars potentially through this magazine that you hope will do something versus Facebook ads, and, you know, try this out. And whenever we first started out, it was, hey, we're not going to charge very much because we want to prove it to you. And we actually just did this with a dentist because it was a referral of a friend. And we charged what we would normally charge. But I said, okay, I'm not going to charge you per, you know, like we normally do as far as retainer. I'm just going to charge you per lead. But I charged them a lot per lead because I knew that we could get the leads. Mm-hmm. And so she was like, okay, I have no problem paying for the leads. And we defined what a lead was as far as like booking an appointment, everything. And she paid a lot for that lead, but at least it proved it to her where she felt like, you know, I'm not going to be out a bunch of money. And if you give me results and you give me those leads, then that's going to be business for me and we all win. So that was just kind of to prove it to her.
Yep.
But yeah, the strategy that we use is absolutely just going after the people who are already advertising in other areas, whether it's on Google. Another strategy we use is go to Google pay-per-click or people who are paying for that top ad spot. I'm like, look, that's $20 to $30 per click. I could get a click for 50 cents or less for you.
Yeah.
Let's try something out. So that's something else that we do.
Are you physically going into these businesses, or how are you reaching out to them?
Sometimes it is physically going there. We don't do that as much anymore. We're actually reaching out a lot on Instagram DM, and I'm really surprised at our response rate. We probably get 40 to 50% response rate, and just have a conversation with people there. But it's more about like adding value to them first. So we created like a little lead magnet to give people like, hey, you know, you've been doing advertising here. Here's something to help you get started on advertising online. You've probably heard of Facebook or Instagram advertising. Try this and implement it. And really, if they try to do it and they have some success, then it's a little bit easier for them to say, okay, I'm not a professional at this. Let me hire you. So that's something I think it's a little bit farther down the road. But we used to go in and just knock on businesses, show up to networking groups, and just add as much value as possible for people to just sit down with us and chat.
I love it. I love it. What were some of the challenges that you had as you, you know, from the popcorn, you know, you said you got the popcorn business, you said you started to get some more confidence there. As you started to get the confidence, Take us through sort of that journey, how you started to raise your prices, the types of clients that you began working with, and maybe some of the challenges that you were facing at that time as well.
Yeah, I think that one of the biggest things for me was that I honestly, this is not just a plug for you, but I saw myself going back to the course and I took it once, but then going back and looked at, you know, how can I get better at retargeting and how can I increase the ROI for our clients that we have currently? Because some of them had signed up and said, like, do these ad services for us monthly, not just, you know, project, but hey, we're going to work with you for 12 months. So we would come up with a strategy and I would say, okay, this is doing well. How can it do better? And go back to the course and get a better ROI. And so when we can start putting in a dollar and make $4 or $5 or $6 every time, then that gave us, I say us now because I've a couple of people working for us, mm-hmm. is that it gave us the confidence to say, look, if we can do this, then, you know, we have an advantage. We can go into other businesses. And I think it's more of a walking with that confidence and just talking to people whenever you're meeting with them. Like, we would sit down for proposal meetings, and in the early years, it's more of a, well, I think we could probably get this many leads. But that's like if everything goes well, versus now I have, you know, exposure to like the way that Facebook works. And then I have exposure to the local market and the area and know that, okay, I know that if we spend this much money on advertising and we create an effective video, more than likely we have a pretty good chance of hitting, you know, X amount of leads. And that's going to, you know, result in this kind of ROI for you. So we started to be more ROI centric and focusing on the business and saying, look, we're going to charge more for you, but that's because we believe that we can get you these results and we can prove that because of past examples. So that's kind of helped us charge more and give us more confidence. And then whenever our clients write reviews or anything like that, it's more of a self-esteem kind of thing. So you really start to believe in yourself and you really start to believe that, hey, I can do this. And you know what, we've had success and now I know that I can do it for other people too.
Totally, totally. Now, you mentioned video. You mentioned video several times now. How are you creating the video? You did mention like whether the client makes it or you make it. What's generally the way that you guys are creating the video? And then what is the format of the video? Like, what are you saying and what's the makeup of the video?
I love telling stories without words. Well, using words, but not using, it doesn't have to have a person there because it's cheaper for the business to do it this way. But I'll tell you, for like a popcorn shop, this particular popcorn shop, we would just show the outside of the building. We would show the product being made. We would show people enjoying the product. And we would just hit some psychological sensors with people. It just sounds fancy. But really, we just want to show that this business is awesome. This is where they're located. This is the kind of food that they have. This is people enjoying it. And we would just add some text on the video and just say, like, you know, local, handcrafted, artisan, you know, made. You know, this is a family-owned business, all these things, and make a 30 to 45-second video. And if you've seen anything like those tasty videos, we would just mimic those style of videos and recreate them very quickly. And sometimes we'd bring out a videographer. Sometimes if they wanted to do it themselves, they could, and we would just edit the video. But it's very easy to accomplish what the goal is with that in mind whenever you're just trying to show people who you are, because it's just an awareness play to get people to be in step one of that funnel, which is, you know, being aware that this business is even around and that their product is actually that good.
Are you, do you have a filmmaking background, or like, where, like you keep mentioning the telling the stories, which I love, is an integral part of marketing. Where does this come from for you?
So we have a videographer now, but I think this has just been, I think this is something most people listening can relate to, is that I think the reason that we've done well is that I've spent literally thousands and thousands of hours not only listening to your podcast, but other people's podcasts, reading and then implementing and practicing ourselves and just testing things.
Yeah.
And so we've just started focusing a lot more on telling that story, because there was no background for me in that piece. I have a background in the sense of business and some stories there, but I never really became like somebody who helped a business tell their story until, you know, these last couple of years when I realized that it doesn't matter what we do with advertising. It doesn't matter what we do with the video. If we don't have some kind of story, and it could be a simple one, it could be very easily told, but if we don't have some kind of story that people can grab a hold of, then it's not going to be nearly as effective. And so I just really focused on finding podcasts and books and reading a lot about psychology to make that happen and understand trigger points of where people are at. And it's just something I've developed over time, I guess, but no background.
Do you have an example of a video that you could share on the show notes page for today's episode?
Yeah, absolutely. There's one we did for a local coffee shop called Bigby Coffee that we did, and it's just people enjoying, you know, the coffee, very quickly made in about an hour.
Awesome.
Did very well.
Why didn't you give up early on when things weren't working for you?
I know the reason is that I loved what I did. And I think that this is something that I preach to. Not only, I actually just had a meeting this afternoon with people, and it's like, you deserve yourself to do something that you love, and you deserve to help people in a way that you feel good and you feel passionate about. And for me, it was, I can't necessarily run all of these businesses myself. I can't run a popcorn shop or a donut shop or anything like that. But what I can do is help those people and help our local marketing and, you know, help the local area. And that's what I get excited about, is making a big impact on the local area. And I loved doing it. So whenever you have that passion for something that you really care about, you know, when things are bad or not going the way that you want, if you have the end goal in mind and know that, you know, you are going to make an impact and you are going to stand out, I think that's what kind of propelled us forward. And then we started to see success. So it kind of mounted with that.
I love it. I love it. You come up with some really good ideas as far as the strategy and the ideas, like you mentioned, like that with the popcorn company, it was like nice and naughty list, which I think is amazing. The question I inevitably get from especially ad managers, because they're approaching different types of businesses when they haven't niched down. And guys, everybody listening here who is either an ads manager right now or starting an ads business, you'll notice that Aaron's talking about different types of businesses here. Like, he's niched down to the local business market in his area, but not serving one specific type of business. Now, where do you come up with these ideas for the strategies? Because you are being so smart about, okay, the video is step one in the customer journey here to get them to become a customer. Where do those ideas come up for you as far as like the strategy? Like, what, all right, this is what we're going to try for this, as you just mentioned, like the coffee house.
Yeah, I really wish that I had a better answer, but the real answer is that a lot of failure of what does not work. So like a direct response ad could work, but I just know that taking some stuff out of Gary Vaynerchuk's playbook of like jab, 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 right hook, is that people don't want to buy right away. They do want to buy something, but if they don't know you and like you and trust you and really feel like you are the person that they want to do business with, then they have no affinity to your brand. So I did some research on strategies that Apple comes up with, and they're just, I mean, they're amazing. I won't talk about the anything else other than Apple, that I'm a huge Apple guy. But the ideas that they have, it all starts with, you know, the brand and really understanding who their customer is. And if the customer doesn't know who you are, then they can't ever make a decision. They can't ever engage with you, so they'll never make a purchase. And whenever I started to figure that out, that's where we started to break that down and kind of put that into Facebook advertising, where they actually tell you in Facebook, and you've even explained in your course that, you know, there's a section for awareness, there's a section for your assets, and this is more of like a conversion. And so if even just following like what Facebook tells you as far as like, you know, this is for brand awareness, this is for, you know, for video views, this is for conversions, and we just kind of use that model and just kind of extrapolate that into, you know, a journey that our customer goes on. And it can be as simple as they know who you are, they engage with your business over the course of a couple of weeks or maybe a couple of days, and then they make a decision. And whether they decide to do business with you or they don't, they still made a decision. And so just taking a lot of those ideas from, you know, bigger companies, mm-hmm. and bigger brands, and then taking it from a little bit of the giving back philosophy that Gary talks about.
I love it. Now, what did you do with that in mind right there? You mentioned that you did some work for a dentist recently where, you know, they were just starting out and just like proving to them that this would work, and they paid you per lead and it worked out really well. What did that funnel look like? What did that strategy look like for you?
Yeah, and I guess that's a soft spot. So if anybody local listens to this, they know that, or they'll probably come take advantage of me. But she just started to give a backstory for her, and it'll explain the funnel. she started in business a year ago, and a marketing company took over, but they did absolutely nothing, where she was paying $5,000-$10,000 for somebody to manage her website and her social media. But
which is very common.
Yeah, absolutely.
That they're not getting a return.
Well, they copied a website that was the exact same website from another town over, hadn't put the Facebook pixel on her website, and it was just really rough. So the strategy for her was that, okay, you're a new dentist in the area. We need to get you in front of as many people in your neighborhood. So let's target women in your neighborhood, because we have an idea that those are going to be the people who make the decisions in the household as far as getting the kids to come in for the dentist, but also forcing the husband to do it as well. Mm-hmm. And we said, okay, what's one thing that they really, you know, need? And that's just, you know, a dental checkup. So we'll give a discount on a dental checkup, plus offer like a free cleaning or a free whitening, because everybody wants to do the whitening. It's just so expensive. So we had an amazing deal or amazing offer. And she was going to make a little bit of money on the front end with them coming in. But every time somebody booked with her, she made a lot more money. And that's if they didn't have a cavity or anything. Everybody knows how the dentists make their money with those fillings. But mm-hmm. it was an offer to come in to get a half-priced checkup, plus an offer for free whitening. It was a deal that was so good that if they didn't know who she was, that they couldn't resist it. So we just ran that ad as an image of her in her location. She didn't want to do a video. It was very shy on video. It was just an image. And we called out people in the area, and we just told them, and we targeted, like I said, women. And it was like, I think 26 to like 55 year old age group, and targeted women in that area, and just said, hey, this is an amazing offer. She's a new dentist. That's why we're giving this deal. And we just put a scarcity on there as far as how many we were going to give away, and then the amount of time that they had to use it, so that they actually had to book it. But that's really the biggest piece. It was just a step one. And actually, I have a call with her later today to do more stuff long term now that she's seen success in that campaign. But I consider that more of a direct response and a more of a one-time kind of idea.
Yeah,
I like to do those, but not nearly as much as helping over the course of 3 to 6 months and build a brand for her, so that she doesn't have to do amazing offers like that, but people want to make purchasing decisions with her because they've engaged so much and they feel like that's their dentist.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Now you're turning that success into a longer term play, as you said, and really building that brand for her in the local market, in the local neighborhood. And, you know, you mentioned something really key there. You said she's not comfortable being on camera right now. Like, so you didn't go that route, right? You did an image and you had a great offer, and, you know, you put it in front of the right people. You thought through it. You know, most people are going to be like, ah, okay, I'll just target this local area and let's see if it works. You know, where yeah. you actually thought through it thoughtfully.
Well, one thing that we did with that, and we ran it for 2 days, and I told her we should not do it, and I told her if it doesn't work, I'm going to switch it. She wanted to do a stock photo of somebody smiling and say, like, free whitening on it. And I said, this will not work, but I will, because I want to, you know, she's always going to wonder if that would have worked otherwise. So I said, okay, let's run it for 2 days. If we get nothing, then I want to use this picture of you and your dental hygienist and a patient, because it's just all three of them smiling, enjoying it. We got no leads in 2 days. I turned it on with a picture of her. We got 8 leads in a couple of hours.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I love it. I love that you entertained it. You know what I mean? You're like, okay, this isn't going to work, but you're the client. I will try this out for you.
Yeah.
And we'll see if it works. And, you know, and you gave her a time frame, and boom, it didn't work. Now, you mentioned the coffee shop where you did a video. What did that funnel look like? So you were just, and it was very, you said it was a very simple thing that you shot in about an hour. What did that strategy look like?
Yeah, so this one is a local coffee shop, and it's one that a lot of business owners know about, but not the community does. They're all thinking Starbucks, they want to go there. And our whole approach for this was, this is not Starbucks. Now, we did target people who liked Starbucks, and that was a really good interest for us. And we got a lot of people to switch from Starbucks over to Bigby. But what we did was we created this video and just blasted it out to everyone. The video was is very upbeat. We used the child like enjoying themselves. It just showed that a coffee is a place. It's communal. It's a local place, but it's also a place that you can come there with friends, chat. You can come there and just, you know, it's more about the experience. And so we led with that video, and that video went to a landing page, but if they converted off the video, that was a bonus. But the real magic happened whenever we started retargeting afterwards. So if they watch a, I think it was about 50% of the video, they saw a series of 2 to 3 image ads where we said, I think the offer was like 99 cents for any tall specialty drink, which is maybe like 16 ounces or something. Mm-hmm. So they started to see those ads, but the video kind of told that story and got people interested in it. And then we retargeted for people who watched 50% of it. And then we sent them to a landing page. And then the last thing that we did, which is pretty simple, is just retargeted people who visited the landing page but didn't go to the thank you page. So it's more of like a, hey, it's a final offer. We know you want this. We know you want to come and spend time with your friends. This is a limited time offer. You know, bring a friend in here, spend $2, have an amazing experience. And it did really well. So we were spending about a penny per video view, and the total cost per lead was about 90 to 95 cents in the very beginning, and it kind of rose a little bit to a dollar something the first time that we started running it, and then it's actually kind of leveled off after that. After Facebook did its magic, it wasn't really us, but it was about 75 cents per lead at that point. But we gathered, I think, about 300 email addresses and ran it for 30, 45 days.
Wow. Nice. And so how did they redeem that? So was there a coupon or something that they had to print out, or like in order to get that deal?
So they could print it out if they wanted to, but we made it super convenient to where they, as soon as they got on the landing page and they gave us the information, the thank you page had a video of the family. So it's family owned, and we had them tell them on the video, you know, thank you for downloading this. It means a lot to our family. We can't wait to see you. And so that was the video from the family, and you got a warm greeting from the person who potentially will be serving you coffee. And then below that, it said download your coupon, and it was downloaded digitally. But we also sent them an email that they sent it to them right away. Now, most people get coupons and they don't show up. And it's something that we tried with the Quick Car place you mentioned earlier. And we were just like, why are people not showing up? So the last part of this funnel was an email sequence that we sent out. So they got the email on day one, and they had 14 days to redeem this coupon. But they got the email on day one to go right in and use it. They got one that said like 3 days later, like, hey, don't forget this. They got one that was 7 days after that. And then they got one that was like the day before. And it was just, they were all reminders, but they were kind of like funny, you know, little sayings. It was super simple copy. And we just try to go from a complete local approach of like, you know, this is written from the business owner, not from like some corporate super long email. It's just more like, hey, we can't wait to see you. We can't wait to, you know, have you experience this. Here's the coupon again, and just so many reminders. And you really started to see that the open rate and the click-through rate went up dramatically on the last few emails. The last day, people were like, oh, dang, I need to use this. So we saw a lot of people start showing up really 12 to 13 days after they got the coupon.
Interesting, because the urgency was there. The scarcity was there.
Exactly.
I love it. So where are you at now with the business? You know, this has been a couple years now. I mean, you're obviously really, really smartly getting clients and getting results for them, and you're building an amazing agency for yourself. I know that you've hired some people on the team. It was just you and your business partner for a long time, right?
Yeah, we started in a little, my mother-in-law and father-in-law's bedroom. It was like a 8-foot by 5-foot pink and green old girl's room. And we started with just 2 MacBooks. And then we moved to another apartment and kind of had like 2 rooms that we were working out of. And that's really when we bought the course, because I remember going to buy the course and asking him like, hey, do you think we should buy this? And so we were in an apartment, and now we've moved into an office building. We were actually the first tenants here at this really cool, it's like a kind of like a co-working or like a WeWork, but it's a local business. And we were actually the first tenants, and we were able to get the largest office in the place. And we now have a couple of employees and looking for another videographer. But yeah, it's a very humble beginnings from a lot of hours spent trying to not only do work for our clients, but find clients for ourselves, and then figure out a way to be more profitable, to scale and actually get into an office. Now, one thing we could have done, and I just will like a caveat, is that we started this and we bootstrapped everything. So everything we have has been cash flow positive. So we could have taken out money and done that, but that's not the route we chose to do it. But it's been, for us, it's been a lot more sustainable for us because we haven't had to worry about making sure we have to pay back a bank. And that's just kind of for us, that's what worked. But now we know that, you know, we're in a bigger office and we're doing better now. We're doing bigger clients and bigger projects that, you know, this is possible for us to scale and grow our agency.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, so many people ask, they're like, you know, how much money do I need to start, you know, a business managing ads for other businesses? And I'm like, you just need a laptop and an internet connection and a willingness to go do this. That's it. You don't need, you know, you don't need a loan. You don't need, you know, to go into big time debt or anything like that to do this. So how did you, as you've grown your team here, how did you decide which roles to start hiring for first?
Yeah, because I saw a big need in them, the amount of time that it was taking from me. So what I love is the strategy and the business development. And then like I love whenever you come up with updates or we see a new update with Facebook, I love being on the cutting edge of like, what's the coolest thing that just came out with Facebook or Instagram? And I want to go test it and then pass it on to like somebody on my team to try it for some campaigns that we're running for ourselves internally. When I saw that I couldn't do that as much, that's when I knew that somebody else needs to help with the advertising, because I owe it to our clients to make sure that we're constantly looking at their ads and optimizing those ads. And if for me to actually do what I want to do and love to do and help scale and grow the business, I can't do all of those things. So we started to take on more clients and I realized that it was going to be way too many hours to be working in there. And you don't ever get into business to try to work yourself to the point where you don't have any other life. So
yeah.
That's the point that we were at, for me at least anyways, it was working a lot of hours and I was like, okay, you know, what's the smart move here? I should probably hire somebody. And so, that's where we focused on was, somebody with the advertising spot. But what's kind of unique about our agency is that we're a creative agency. So there's a whole design and you know, creative side to the business, and that's what is the forefront. That's why we have the videographer, and that's why we have a graphic designer, is because that's kind of needed within the advertising piece too. So like right now, we have a huge need for video because we're pushing video so hard and have been trying to the last couple of years, but really it takes a couple of years for people to realize that, oh, this is something I should do. And right now, it's just a huge need for our ads that it makes sense for us to have a strategy done in-house and then a video designed in-house. And then we have complete control over the effectiveness and the outcomes for it. So that's kind of how we knew that there was a need for it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And where do you see this business in a couple of years, a few years? Like what's your goal here?
Well, since you're asking, Bit Branding, our agency, is really just the groundwork for something that's going to be something much bigger. We want to get some space to where we're potentially offering an incubator-style space for businesses that may need some capital. We may offer capital, who knows? But we want to be the marketing agency for these local startups and help grow those people and help with their marketing. And just where, you know, they could choose to work with us or not, but we have this location where they could come in and we're helping them with the newest and greatest of what's going on in digital marketing and then helping them grow their apps or their local businesses from that point. And so we really want to use this as funnel to create enough revenue to make that piece of it happen. So it's really about making a much larger impact on not only this local community in Allen, but just the Dallas Metroplex. Right now, we're just focused on our county and just really doing really good local marketing here, but we want to make a bigger, you know, impact in our area. And we can't do that with just our agency, but we can do that by empowering other businesses that are going to grow that way.
Dude, I did not know you were going to answer that way when I asked you that question. I love it. I love it. I am so happy for you. I mean, you are doing all the right things, making all the right moves, and you're just doing this the right way. So I'm super proud of you, super happy for you for what you've built. I want to make sure that people can connect with you if they want to. What's the best place and what's the best way for people to do that?
Yeah, so we're pretty active on Instagram. DM is a great place for us. Everything on our social media is @BitBranding. And I think I know that from the very beginning, like if I had somebody to ask to answer questions, this would be like huge. And I'm happy to answer any questions for people. My email is probably the best place to get a hold of me personally. And it's aaron@bitbranding.co. Yes, some guy in Florida will never give up the .com eventually. But
you said bitbranding, B-I-T?
Yeah, bitbranding.
Got it.
.co.
Okay. So guy won't give up his .com, right?
No, we offered a lot of money to get that back, and he just never responds. So we're just building.co.
Aaron@bitbranding.co. Be careful what you wish for, my man, because you are going to get inundated. Our listeners here are amazing, as you know. At bitbranding is your social media handle. Reach out to Aaron on Instagram there. DM him any questions. Let him know that you heard him on AOPT. Aaron, again, I am so happy for you. You know, I knew that this was going to be a great interview. I knew diving into your business, and I was going to learn a lot from you because I know some of the story of your business and how far you've come. But man, just like really diving into it here today and where you're taking this, I'm super impressed, man. So congrats on all your success. You have a lot more coming your way. And again, thanks so much for coming on the show. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Thanks, Rick.
Hey, again, if you are a Facebook ads manager or you're looking to grow a Facebook ads business, make sure to download the Facebook Ad Manager Cheat Sheet Bundle. Again, it includes the 5 keys to getting high quality clients, a client intake form for you, the niching down worksheet, which will help you gain more clarity on which niche that you should be serving, the best way to lower your Facebook ad cost cheat sheet, and the AOPT episodes for Facebook Ad Manager's cheat sheet. Again, you can download this Facebook Ad Manager cheat sheet bundle at rickmulready.com/bundle. And when you download that bundle, you're also going to be able to get free access to my FB Ad Manager Experience pop-up Facebook group, where nearly 2,000 Facebook ad managers just like you are learning to quickly and effectively grow and scale their Facebook ads businesses. So make sure to download the bundle at rickmulready.com/bundle and get free access to the FB Ad Manager Experience pop-up Facebook group, which is going to be available for a limited time. All right, my friends, as always, thank you so much for listening to the show here. I really appreciate it. I've got another quick tip episode coming your way later this week. So until then, keep testing your paid traffic to find out what works for you and your business, and then do more of what's working. And I'll see you in the next episode.
Don't worry, there's more of Art of Paid Traffic coming soon. If you can't wait for more incredible digital marketing strategies, head over to rickmulready.com. We'll see you next time.
Do you want to avoid the 7 biggest mistakes that burn through course creators' ad money? I see these over and over and over again, and I put them together in a mini email series. This is not fluff. Each of the 7 mistakes, I also have a recorded video tutorial showing you inside of Facebook Ad Manager how to fix those mistakes. This is good, solid, and it will save you money or help you make more money with your Facebook ads. Click down in the show notes below. You'll see the link and you can go download it right now for free.